is falling down. Where the peaceful sound, lonely souls hang around.
All right. How's everybody today? How's the meatloaf? So, we just want to start, pray real quick. Jesus, God, this first song is going to say, God, we need you. Father, we declare today, we proclaim over our own hearts and our minds, Father, that we need you. And God, what a beautiful thing that you come to your sons and daughters when we ask, when we cry out. Father, we ask today, God, that your presence would be made known. God, that the hopeless would begin to feel hope. God, that the ones that are scared would begin to feel peace. God, the ones that are hungry would be filled in every way. God, that the ones that are scared would feel safe. And God, we just declare today over this place, God, that this is your parking lot today. We stake the authority of Jesus Christ over it. God, we just pray today, God, that you would speak. God, that you would come close. Hell, you're already close. God, that we would just acknowledge your presence. God, remove the fog. God, remove anything that's blocking us from hearing your voice, seeing your presence. In your name we pray, amen. In a Church of God type church, revival is typically like a week where everybody goes all out and praying and then it stops. But the true definition from God, a revival is just what God does. If there's something in your life that's broken, He's ready to revive it. If there's a relationship that hasn't been the way it needs to be, He's ready to mend it. So as we sing the rest of this song, think of something that you need revival in your life, and imagine God saying yes and amen to it right now. Come awaken your people. Come awaken your city. God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. Every stronghold will crumble. I hear the chains hit the ground. Oh, God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. Come awaken your people, come awaken your city. Oh, God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. Every stronghold will crumble. I hear the chains hit the ground. City, oh God of revival, pour it out, pour it out.
stronghold will crumble. I hear the chains hit the ground. God of revival, pour it out, pour it out.
God, we just declare that today. We proclaim it over this parking lot today, God, that you would just revive the dead places in us, God, the places that we've given up, God, the life that we ask that you breathe into us today, God. We just ask you bring the river of life through this place, God. God, we ask your blessing over the rest of the service. God, we ask your blessing over the words, God, that you would speak to us. We consecrate this time to you. In your name we pray, amen. All right. How's everybody after that? That's good stuff. Yeah, very good. Same here. I told these guys, man, the line, hearing the chains hit the ground. I love that. That's awesome. Thank you, guys. All right. Well, man, we'll get in the word a little bit this morning. Who was here last week? Anybody here last week? All right. Charlie did an outstanding job as always. Where's my brother Charlie over there? Hey, Charlie. Not even wearing Kentucky stuff. Have you just given up, man? I don't blame you, man. Man, Charlie did an awesome job in teaching on Jesus saying, I am the true vine. And Charlie, if I'm right, Christ cares about connection, right? And that we see and that we pray and we love. I've thought about that all week this week. And so thank you, brother. Did such an awesome job. And so this week, I want to do something a little different. Typically, I'll kind of give us some background, some context to where we're at, and then go into the passage. But I want to read one verse that we're going to be in this week, and then kind of go backwards and tell you where we're at moving forward this week. So I'm going to read the first verse in John 16, so verse 1. And here's what Jesus says. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. Hey, somebody grab my, Charlie, will you grab those notes? I can teach without them, but we'll go with it. So I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. I want you to think about that. And then as we do, to think back to some of the things that Jesus has said. I mean, you go back to Jesus that's done all of these amazing things, all of the things that these disciples have seen, and now he's at this critical moment where the cross is near. I mean, Jesus knows that the days are numbered for this earth, I mean, this physical life that Jesus has, all of these things, and he's gathered away. Thank you so much, brother. You're a gentleman and a scholar. And so Jesus has said this, and now he comes to this place where he says, I have said all these things to keep you from falling away. He knows what the disciples are about to encounter, right? He knows that he is at a place where the cross is near. They're about to be in this freak out moment of now Jesus, this one that we've staked our life to follow. And now he's been placed on a cross and is dead, placed in a tomb. And Jesus is telling him, I am sharing these things. I've said all these things to keep you from falling away. So it just kind of made me think and made me rewind before we go forward into chapter 16, what some of these things that Jesus is talking about. So this is this ongoing conversation that Jesus has had with his disciples. And here's just a few of the things that I thought about. He washed feet. And then he told the disciples, this new command I've given you to love one another as I have loved you. I'm going to tell you, it doesn't take far to look around in this parking lot and see love. There's a lot of love out here, right? That's a beautiful thing. But that's what Jesus said, this new command. So that's one of the things that Jesus said. And then he also gave the lost world this barometer, this gauge. If you want to know who my people are by this alone, not by how much scripture they know, not by their church attendance, not by, you know, where they're from, who they belong to, none of those things. By this, by the love that they have for one another, you will know who my disciples are. He also told him, I'm going to prepare a place. Remember, he said, where I'm going, you can't go right now, but I'm going to prepare a place, and where I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, right? He also tells them, I'm sending you a helper. Not just a helper, but in my Bible, a capital H, the helper, right? The Holy Spirit. And he's saying with that, that by the way, he adds on this little nugget at the end that, even you will do greater things than you've seen me do. They've got to be going through their mind. He's fed the 5,000. He's called a man out of the grave. He's turned water to wine. He's healed the leper. He's dealt with the prostitute and told her that, hey, your sins are forgiven. All of these things. And he says, greater things that you will do. He told them, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. Think about it. This is one long conversation that Jesus is having. A lot of stuff that he said here. He tells them, I am the vine, you are the branches. Charlie talked about that last week, this staying connected. And then he says, as the Father loves me, I love you. I mean, imagine that Jesus is telling the disciples, you guys know how much the Father loves me. You've heard him speak, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Right? As much as the Father loves me, I love you. By the way, church, can I give you a little news this morning? Look at me back there in the back. Same is true today. As the Father loves Jesus, so Jesus loves you. By the way, doesn't get to cancel you out by what you've done or what you will do, what you've done in the past. Has no bearing on that. He loves you just as the Father loves Jesus. I love this last week, Charlie. He said, no longer do I view you as servants, but as my friend. Did you know that you're a friend of God this morning in Jesus' name? Then he goes on, he says, whatever you ask in my name, I will give to you. We talked about that, his will, his heart, right? Not 10-year-old Keith praying for a relationship one day with Paula Abdul. Boy, aren't we glad that didn't work out, right? Kind of a little crazy. But back then, I thought it would be a good plan. But whatever you ask in my name, I'll give you. Holy Spirit will come, and not only will he be a helper, but he is an advocate, a person who has your back, who is in your corner. Any Rocky fans out here? Anybody? Man, Jamie can tell you, there's a few movies. Tombstone is one of them. Back to the Future, I still love it when that car hits 88 miles an hour. Karate Kid, Rocky. Those are ones that if they're on TV, I'm going to stop. Man, I love the relationship with Rocky and Mick, who's in his corner, and then later Apollo Creed that's in his corner. But I'm telling you, even a better person in your corner is the advocate, the Holy Spirit, right? The helper, the one who stands up for you. It's better than anyone or anything else that could be in your corner. And this is who Jesus says is our advocate. So he said all of these things that I've just went over in one giant long conversation. He's washed feet, he said all these things, and then we get to today's passage, and he starts by saying, I have said all these things. What things? Those things I just went over. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. What Jesus is telling his disciples is tough times are coming. You're about to experience a whole whirlwind of emotion and life and death and things that come with that. And yes, Jesus knew resurrection was coming, but in the same token, he knew that the disciples were going to be pressed in on and that they were going to, some of them deny and some of them betray and some of them turn the other way and struggle through. Man, now Jesus is dead. What do we do? I have said all of these things to you to keep you from falling away. I'll read the rest of our scripture today and we'll pray and get into it just for a few moments. After he says this about I've said these things, it says, they will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering a service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I've said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment concerning sin, because they do not believe in me, and concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer, and concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot hear or bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you these things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning, that you would challenge us, encourage us, convict us where needed, and speak louder than any voice that is here this morning. We pray and we ask it in Jesus' name. I want to ask you this morning just a thought that has been going through my mind this week. There's a fellow that I love his teaching. I love reading some of his books and even listen to some podcasts. His name is John Eldridge. And John Eldridge on his podcast this week was talking about something I've not been able to shake from my mind. I want to share this and believe that it has some bearing in what we're talking about today. This, are you going to choose a life connected to the Holy Spirit, the Helper, or are you going to choose a life that is just following your own guide? Anybody followed your own guide, your own way, and it kind of messed you up? Anybody been there? Why not turning it over to the Helper, the Advocate, and following him as a guide? And really, it comes to the choice. Are you choosing relief or are you choosing restoration? That's the word that I've had this week. Relief in a temporary way or restoration in an eternal way. You see, you can choose your way or you can choose his. And we all, I think, would say in this place that we would rather choose the eternal over the temporary. And so he's gathered these disciples around and all of these amazing things that they've seen, all of they've experienced, and he knows the cross is coming. Now listen to what he tells them, though. He tells them, I've told you these things so that you do not fall away. And then he adds this, oh, by the way, they will kick you out of the synagogues. Imagine being the disciples and you've seen and experienced all these amazing things. Charlie, put yourself in this boat. You've heard and seen all these amazing things, and now Jesus decides to tell you, oh yeah, they will kick you out of the synagogues, and then brushes over this small fact, and when they kill you, they will think that they're doing a service to God. Anybody have a moment there where if you're one of those disciples, say, hold up a minute, can you back up to what you just said? Anybody an Adam Sandler fan? I mean, I'm on the movies today, but there's a classic movie, The Wedding Singer. If you've ever seen that movie, and he's sitting on the porch, he's just lost his wife, like she left out of the wedding service, you know, and all this stuff, and he finally is sitting on the porch, and she comes back, and she tells him, I never want to be married to you, and he says the classic line, once again, information that would have been helpful yesterday, right? I kind of think the disciples are in that moment. Right? They've gone and experienced all that. They've given up everything. And Jesus adds this little caveat on top of all this teaching. They'll kick you out of the synagogues, their church. And when they kill you, hold on a minute, you said what now? When they do what to us? He says, when they kill you, they will think that they are doing a service to God. Man, that would have been helpful to know, Jesus, as we signed up for this. Today, one of my dear friends and brothers and heroes, Bill Clayton in Florida, I get to watch him teach before we come and are here as they're an hour ahead. And don't always get to do that every Sunday, but I did today, and I wrote down something he said, and I believe that we need to hear it today. Salvation is free, but the cost of discipleship is not. I want you to hear that again. Because next time I say it, I'm not even going to mention Bill Clayton. I'm going to be like I never heard of him. It's going to be my statement. So I'm going to give him one more shout out. All right. Salvation is free, but the cost of discipleship is not. Do you know that following Jesus will cost you something? Should. That's what he's telling them. He's saying, listen, they will kick you out of the synagogues. In other words, your place of power, prestige, any of those things you think you have, they're not going to accept this, the leaders. They will kick you out and even seek to kill you your very life. Jesus knows this full well because he is heading towards a cross. And I can just imagine sitting there as a disciple as this is still on my mind. Wait a minute, they're going to do what to us? And Jesus tells them this statement, it is to your advantage that I go away. It is to your advantage that I leave you. Everything that I've done, everything that you've seen, it is to your advantage that I leave. What do you think they're thinking? How in the world is that possible? I mean, you're everything to us. How is that possible that it's to our advantage that you leave us? And he tells them the rest of the story. He says, because if I leave you, I'm sending someone. I'm sending a helper. I'm sending an advocate for you. By the way, I want you to think about this. The cost of this discipleship, the cost of these guys, measuring and counting the cost in this moment of him telling them, listen, it's going to cost you something. Later on or back, if you look in other Gospels, you know, he's already taught about taking up your cross. Do you know what a cross was in that day? You see, some of us, like I have a tattoo of a cross. Some of you have a necklace of a cross. Some of you have a shirt with a cross on it. But back then, this is an instrument of death. It's not a thing of beauty that we attach the gospel to. They didn't know the rest of the story. When Jesus tells them to take up your cross, follow me, it is saying, pick up your instrument of death, die to yourself, and follow me. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Follow the guide of the helper, the Holy Spirit. It would be as foolish as if you saw today, the way we know the rest of the story, celebrating the cross, that if you saw someone in our time, in our day, wearing a necklace with an electric chair to it, right? A shirt with electric, man, why are you wearing that? Well, it's just an instrument of death. I'm celebrating this instrument of death. Like it would seem that foolish to them back then because a cross was an instrument of death and murder and torture and hanging someone for the world to see. But man, I'm so glad for the rest of the story. Amen. And then he calls us to pick up our cross, to follow him. It will cost you things. And he tells them, but if I go, it is better that I go because I am sending someone. I'm sending a helper. I want to read a verse to you. It says this as he continues on in verse 12. Jesus tells them, I still have many things. Many things to say to you. I mean, think of all that he's taught them, but he says, I still have many things to teach you, but you cannot bear them now. I want to tell you two things on this. There is one reason in particular that they cannot bear these things now. It's because they do not have the helper. They do not have the Holy Spirit indwelling them. Yes, there were moments of empowerment from the Holy Spirit, but when Jesus leaves, he's sending the Holy Spirit that at the moment of conversion, we have the Holy Spirit. Nothing special you have to do other than give your heart and life to Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit of God. So we need the Holy Spirit to understand truth. It says that, verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into truth. Nothing we can grasp on our own. We need the Holy Spirit. In fact, some of what the Holy Spirit leads us to do would seem like foolishness to man. Some of the things he calls us to do. Case in point, look around you. We're in a parking lot. We're here when it rains, when it snows, right? We've been out in a hurricane. When other places have shut down, we were out in the rain and all. That seems like foolishness to man, but the Holy Spirit led us to this place and it's glorious. Amen. We follow his lead. He is the guide, the advocate, but not just for a body. He wants to do that in your life personally, that you would listen and lean in. He would guide you and lead you. So the two things of this that this Spirit has to say to you, and you cannot bear them now. The Holy Spirit's needed. The second thing, as I want to tell you this, he still speaks now. The voice of God, I believe, still speaks now. You see, he was about to go to the cross and be gone, but he told them, I've got more to say to you. You can't understand them now. You can't bear them now, but one day. And he wasn't just speaking about when he raised from the dead and he would see them for a short moment as he was resurrected. He's talking about later on when I'm gone and the Helper comes, you will understand. He will guide you. He still speaks to hearts and lives. And one thing I will tell you, he will never contradict his word. He will never tell you something that is in direct opposition, but he still speaks outside even of his word. He leads and guides. If you know him, then you know and have experienced that. Hearing the voice of God. Some would call it a conscience, a guide, his Holy Spirit. I ask you this question, are you listening? Are you paying attention? Are you praying without ceasing? See, I don't think that's some long, drawn-out conversation in big words that others can't understand. I think it's an ongoing conversation we have as if we were having with a friend or a loved one. And so Jesus said all of these things and more to keep the disciples from falling away. I believe that he did the same for you and I, to keep us from falling away in hard times. And to add to what Charlie said last week, he cares about connection with you. You know that the God that created this universe cares about connection with you. There's a song I love right now. It's called Nothing More Than You. It's by a guy named Corey Asbury, and he says this in the song. The one who made the world somehow thinks the world of me. Let that sink in this morning, that the Creator God, the one who created the world, somehow thinks the world of you. Here's what I believe this morning. I want everybody to pay attention. I'll close with this. The Helper, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit is critical here for connection. It's critical. That's how we are connected to God. The Holy Spirit draws us into relationship and then sustains us in that relationship. It is the seal to our relationship, the proof that that relationship is there, that you hear the voice of God, that it is there. My friends, I want to ask you this in closing. In fact, bow your heads and close your eyes with me just a moment. Not going to lead you anything to crazy or embarrassing here or anything like that. Not going to single you out. But I just want you to think about it in this. To seek to listen to the voice of God, to lean in and learn and follow His voice and His leadership. I promise you this, His way is better than yours. His way is better than mine. He will lead and He will guide you. I want to pray that over our hearts and life this morning. If you don't know Him, man, what a wonderful day to meet Him for the first time, to follow that voice for the first time. You can do that today just simply by saying, I believe, I'm in with that. Nothing more than that. That's all that's needed. Just listen to His Spirit's call. And then if you know Him, man, I'm going to try to follow less of me and more of Him. That's a great place to start. You know what I'm talking about, that voice that said, man, go love on that person. Go talk to that person. Go help this person. Part of that's why we're here this morning, right? We've just followed the voice of the Holy Spirit, and we'll continue to do so as a body and as individuals. Jesus, we love you and we need you. As these guys sang this morning so beautifully, every hour. In fact, that's so short. Every minute, every second, we need you, Lord. Thank you for leading us. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you for building a family here in Jesus' name. If someone's here for the first time, let them know that they are welcome and wanted, not just at this place. That's great. We do. We have a table here, and everyone has a seat at the table, but that falls so short because we will let people down. We'll hurt. We'll offend. There's things that will happen, not on purpose, but we're human. But, oh, Jesus, thank you for a seat at your table, a seat that we don't have to enter as servants, but we enter as friends, and even more so than friends, in Jesus' name, as sons and daughters. We thank you, Jesus, for that kind of love, that kind of grace, that kind of mercy and compassion. And so, Jesus, we just echo what's been saying. We need you. Every hour we need you. Would you lead us? Would you guide us? Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Advocate, we need you. In this place and beyond, everywhere we go, we love you, we thank you, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. pushing up the day when the miles drop me on the open plains, when I've lost grace with the Lady of the Dawn. You're what I'm counting. Track me in my steed when I can trust the company I keep, when I push past the point of no return. You're what I'm counting on. You're what I'm counting. Set up my oars when the stakes are raised. We hold the hand we've drawn. You're what I'm counting on. Throwing stones up at your window, casting shadows. Oh, I'm throwing stones up at your window, casting shadows upon your door. Amen. We're going to, I think Dwayne's going to come up here and call out some letters, first letter of your last name, so be listening out for that. And Let's just say a quick prayer. God, thank you so much for a beautiful day. God, we ask, we pray your blessing over the provisions today that we hand out today, God, that we get to share with each other. Father, we just, again, just thank you for the blessing of your word and the blessing of your worship, God. In your name we pray. Amen.